What is going on, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of the Dusty Dimes podcast. I am your host, TJ Plogger, with my co-host, Alan Peters. What's up, Alan?
My good guy. Hopefully I don't shit the bed like a certain COO we know.
No kidding. How you been, man?
Living the dream. I'm about to hear CM Punk say that I just tore my tricep and I'm out for 4 to 6 months.
Yeah, not good. Not good.
Wow. So much can happen in so little time.
It's terrible. It really is. But we have
such an incredible show for you this evening.
We do. We have a good show. We got a good buddy of mine. He's the head coach of Kutztown University ice hockey team. He also is the head man in charge of the Rink Rat Iron Knights inline team, tournament team that he has going on. Both his sons play hockey, same organization we do, 14s and 18s. His son, actually, I put a video up of him. I don't know if you saw it on the Dusty Dimes Instagram, him pulling the Michigan off in middle of a game.
Miss Brother Raul.
Yeah. His son, Justin, he's got silky hands. I mean, Jane's got silky hands too, but Justin likes to show it.
I bet you all the girls call him just incredible.
But we have that. We have, you know, some topics I would like to talk about, you know, in youth hockey. I mean, one being neck guards, you know, got mandated and everything. Tucker's actually going to be on the show as well. I sent him an invite here. He's getting back in the swing of things.
It's hammer time.
So I'm going to send Raul an invite here. Hopefully he connects. Other than that, man, how you been? Good?
Another day in paradise. So, yeah. You know, I got working a little bit, but that's just the usual day.
Yeah.
I may or may not have won Justin Timberlake tickets for a secret concert on Wednesday.
Oh, New York?
Yeah, you already know. I'm waiting for the confirmation. Basically, what happens is I come home Thursday morning. It's my final day of my shift. I'm on Instagram.
Yeah.
And I click on the link, and it basically says, dude, sign in the Ticketmaster. I signed in the Ticketmaster. There was only 242 people in front of me.
Yeah.
Everybody gets two tickets, 600 people, 1,200 seats. So I would like to assume that I'm one of the people that got tickets. We'll see.
And when do you find that out?
Tomorrow at the end of day. That's what the email said. So I don't know exactly what that means. Maybe 5 o'clock.
Who are you taking?
My good buddy.
Nice. Nice. What time you want me there?
To be honest. Yeah, right? Oh, I like your style.
You like that?
You did
like,
that was sharp. That almost went right over my head, dude. And I was like, huh? Oh, yeah. Nice.
But, ladies and gentlemen, Raul Batista. What's up, Raul?
Hey, how are you?
Good, man. How you been?
Not bad. Busy, but good.
No, I hear you. Alan, this is Raul. He's the head coach, Kutztown University. Just going to jump right into it, Raul. We're gonna talk about Kutztown inline and some other topics. I know, you know, you have secondhand nature of being around it just like I do. And want your opinion as well on a couple topics. But can you talk to us about Kutztown University, where that came from, where you got, how you got involved?
Yeah. So I knew a player that was on the team, and he's a big roller guy, but he was playing on the ice hockey team. And Kutztown had an inline team like years ago, and they kind of wanted to restart it up a little, and I was just like, well, you know what? I wouldn't mind like coaching like a collegiate like inline team or whatever. So I reached out to Kutztown, and I was just like, hey, you know, I know you guys had a team. Wondering if it's something that you guys want to kick back up, blah, blah, blah. So I ended up talking to the guy that helps out the ice hockey team. Like, he schedules their games and does like a lot of logistics stuff for them. And he's like, we just started a ice hockey team for D3 because they've always been a D2 team, and we need a coach. Can you coach ice hockey? I'm like, yeah. I mean, I've coached ice hockey for years, so and I kind of just fell into it that way. This is now going on like my third year over there, and now I'm head coach of the D2 team. It kind of just fell into my lap a little bit. I did reach out to them, but you know, I was expecting to go one route and kind of went the complete opposite.
Yeah. Now, can you talk about the transition between 18s and those kids being 17, 16, and 18 years old compared to college kids? What's the transition like being around the group of kids at Central Penn and then going to Kutztown?
Yeah, it's definitely a jump. You got to figure, like, you know, especially like the upperclassmen, like the juniors and seniors, like, you know, they are these are kind of almost like you could say like the last 4 years of hockey here. They're playing a collegiate sport. They know the game. They understand it very well. They have expectations. You know, they want to win. And Kutztown has had success in the past few years. And a couple of guys are on the team now were part of that. And they want to continue that success. So there is a high level of expectation from these guys on us coaches. You know, they know what they want. You know, they have no problems speaking to us about it and things like that. So you kind of got to have like that relationship, like, all right, you know, I'm willing to listen to you. But you know, you did bring me in here and, you know, I do have my, you know, my thoughts, my ideas. So, you know, how can we like coincide all together and we work together to find a common goal here? The 18U, it's still considered youth hockey. You're the head coach, you know, it's kind of like what I say goes type thing, but yeah. I still kind of listen to my players too, but at the end of the day, like I'm still trying to, my goal as a coach is always to get kids ready for the next level. Right. So at 18U, it's either these kids might go play juniors or they're going to go play college hockey somewhere.
Bro, let me cut you off real quick. Are you on a earbud with Mike?
Yes.
Sit still. Cause it's crackling in and out really bad.
Okay. Yeah. Is this good?
Yeah. You're better now. Yep.
All right. That's kind of like the jump, I would say, from one level to the next.
Now, with inline, talking about inline here, we'll jump back to, you know, Kutztown. But inline here, you run the Rink Rat Iron Knights. I know you're a big inline guy. I'm a big inline guy. Can you talk about the benefits of playing inline that helps out ice hockey in the long run?
Oh, for sure. I've always encouraged my ice hockey guys to go play roller hockey, like in the summer. It's just a different game, and you know, a lot of people like scoff on it. They're like, it's roller hockey. There's no checking, none of this. A lot of cherry picking and stuff like that. But I really disagree with that. Roller hockey is a style, because it's so wide open. Like there's no offsides, you know, there's no icing. Like you got to play that style of hockey and very defensively when you don't have the puck, you know, as you know, it, you know, it's a man on man system. You know, you get caught not covering a guy. Yeah. And then a guy's wide open, busting up the rink, you know, putting the puck in the net. So it teaches, to me, it teaches discipline from a defensive level. It creates good vision. You know, you're on the rink, you got to possess the puck. That's the whole game, you know, like puck possession. You know, you want to hold on to that puck as long as you can and try to score, of course. You know, you're translating to ice hockey, like, yeah, you're playing 5-on-5 in the zone. Well, what are you doing? You're possessing. You're possessing the puck, trying to put that puck in the net. The concepts are there. The skating, even within itself, like, you got to push harder on inline. You're on wheels. You're not gliding on ice. You know, you got to move. You're not, you know, there's no standing still. The conditioning, it's to me, it's probably one of the biggest compliments to ice hockey, maybe besides like lacrosse, but like, you know, obviously, you know, it's still hockey. So it translates a lot better.
No, absolutely. And I'll be honest with you, man. Like I had the pleasure of coaching Jaden, being on the bench with him and, you know, watching Justin, like you could tell it's a real benefit with both your boys. You know what I mean? And, you know, even last year, you know what I mean? When Jaden played that tournament with us, you know what I mean? That Percy tournament. And dude, he slowed the game down, but it wasn't like a bad slow the game down. He used that roller hockey, inline hockey mentality.
Oh, absolutely.
If it wasn't for roller hockey, I wouldn't know TJ or TJ's entire family, basically. In a sense, his immediate family.
Yeah, it's a great sport. I mean, I think I take them down to Florida. They play in a tournament series called Tours, and you know, we're lucky enough to be down there when the pro divisions are playing. And I mean, last year Pat Maroon was playing in it. And, you know, just watching an NHL guy on wheels, you know, do his thing out there. And then it's just fun to watch. Like, you know, there's something to be said when you got like NHL guys playing roller hockey in the summer.
Oh, for sure. For sure. You know? For sure. 100%.
I still have my New Jersey Rock and Rollers jerseys. They weren't my jerseys, but I still have Rock and Rollers jerseys from New Jersey.
People will pay big bucks for those.
Dude, they're staying in the vault, man. And ironically enough, it's TJ's brother-in-law that gave them to me.
John or Eric?
Eric, as a birthday gift. I mean, I don't know, 20 years ago, but I still have them. The home and the away, bro. I got both of them.
Nice. Now, you know, we both coach youth hockey. I know you saw a lot of people mixed emotions here on the neck guard. USA Hockey mandated the neck guard. Have you seen any of the posts on Facebook on AHF? Dude.
Yeah, I saw one today.
It's incredible. It's incredible. Yeah. Like, I mean, people flying off the handle, you know, and stuff like that. You know, it's.
Why wouldn't you want your kid protected? I mean, that's just my thing. Like,
exactly.
Even way before, like, the neck guards. You know, that, well, I should say the incident happened. Like, my kids always wore them. Like, you know, at some point that you probably don't even feel it anymore after a while. It's just what's added protection, you know?
No, I know. It's like these kids, like you're sending your kids out there with, you know, a helmet on. You know what I mean? It's the same concept. You know what I mean? It's just you're protecting your kid's body. So what's an extra piece of clothing? You know what I mean? Like or a neck guard.
Yeah, absolutely.
One topic I wanted to talk about, I mean, there's a couple more, this goes for basically youth hockey and college, you know what I mean? Is, you know, scouting kids, like what do coaches look for? Like, you know, for college, what do you look for?
First thing, you know, skating, like, that's always
we talk about that all the time.
Yeah, I mean, the biggest thing to play the game, you got to be a good skater. Even when my kids started playing hockey, you know, I told them, like, if we're gonna do this sport, you got to learn how to skate. And it's, you know, it's just not, you know, just sprinting up the ice as fast as you can. Like, you know, I like to see kids that have good edges, you know, that can transition forward to backwards. You know, power turns, like stuff like that without falling. Like to me, like that's like my first indicator or things that I look for, when I'm looking at kids. And, you know, we have a recruit skate coming up in April. So, you know, we have a lot of recruits coming out. And to be honest, like the drills I'll run, I'm going to make them, like, I just want to say expose them, but you know, that's kind of what I'm looking at. I'm like, can you do this stuff? Like, can you skate well? The second biggest thing for me is just hockey IQ. Like, you know, what are you doing when you don't have the puck? Are you throwing the puck away? Like, are you just giving it up too quickly, or are you trying to make a play? Like, you know, to me, that those things are important. And, you know, from right now, club college hockey has grown massively. Like, I don't know. It's there are so I think in the ACHA division, there's like 460 club ice hockey teams.
No shit.
And yeah, and let me tell you, like the talent has gone up like tremendously. Like beginning of the year, we went up to Lake Placid. We got an invite to go play up there. It was just like a little mini tournament. It's like a, you know, you play one game, you make it to a championship type thing. And you know, we ended up playing Buffalo State, and you know, we won. And then we ended up playing Emory Riddle, a team from Florida, like an aeronautics school or something like that. Head coach is like some guy that played like the 1980 Olympics. He went to like, he played D1 North Dakota. He played at NHL. I met him. I didn't even know who he was. I was like, oh wow. And let me tell you, those kids were good. Like the kids that we played, they were very good. And it's just like the talent has just grown tremendously. And like, just looking now, like, you know, when I'm trying to recruit kids to the school, it's just like, that's what I'm kind of looking for. I want to see good skaters. I want to see guys that are paying attention. Like, if I draw up a drill, can you run it? Like, if I'm explaining a system to you, you know, are we applying it in the games? Like, those are stuff like that I look for in players.
I'd like to think that the skating is the foundation of the game.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, it's you're putting in a lot of good key points with your kids, and it sounds really fantastic, brother. I just wanted to share that.
Now, do you agree or disagree? I mean, I tell this to Lanny all the time, is, you know, the whole thing with scouting, with people watching and shit like that is, you know, basically I tell them to, you know, don't act like an asshole in the rink. Someone's always watching. Don't slam your stick. Someone's always watching. Don't, you know, go out there and be a fucking knucklehead on the ice because somebody's watching. Even the locker room, you know what I mean? Like, in the locker room, I tell them, like, dude, you do one wrong thing, you know what I mean? And your fucking hockey's over, you know what I mean?
The etiquette.
Yeah, it's you do one wrong thing these days and it's you're fucked. Yeah. You know what I mean? Especially with social media, you know, it's got to be tough for you too, you know what I mean, with the college, like these college kids, you know what I mean? But I mean, you're a well-rounded coach. I'm sure they respect the shit out of you, but like other teams and clubs and stuff like that, it's got to be hard.
Yeah, 100%. My younger son Justin, he could have a little bit of a dude sometimes. But I tell him, like, listen, buddy, like, you're getting to that age, you know, once you start playing like 16s and you get to that midget year, like, you know, you gotta show composure on the ice. You gotta have a positive attitude. You can't, like you just said, you know, and not that he does it, but like, you can't be throwing your stick or like slamming your stick on the ice. Like, if there's a bad play, like, you gotta, like I tell them all the time, they're looking for a reason not to take you. Like,
oh, 100%. 100%.
And that's it. Like, you know, once you get to a certain point, everybody can play. Everybody can skate. Everybody's like, you know, has a good shot or something like that. So now, well, why am I not going to take you? And that's what it comes down to. So, you know, I try to hammer that home to them for sure.
No, absolutely. And the other thing I want to talk about is personality of kids on and off the ice. You know what I mean? This is a tricky one, like, to talk about, because I mean, I feel it, this goes from youth or like the little kids all the way up to 18, even college, man. It's, you know, if you act like an asshole, where's that coming from? You know what I mean? It comes from, and I hate to say it, it comes from the parenting. You know what I mean? So if the parents act like assholes, the kids are going to act like assholes. And that goes back to the scouting thing. You know what I mean? Like, if you have a crazy fucking parent, you know what I mean? You know, are you going to take that kid on your college team?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that kid could score a fucking 100 goals, you know, in a season. But if the fucking parents are fucking assholes and the kid acts like an asshole, you're not going to take him.
Yeah. It's crazy because, I swear, like, parents in the stands have gotten worse.
Oh,
and,
dude.
And
dude.
It's absolutely wicked. Like, I tell you, what was it? Justin, he was playing up in Hershey like two years ago as a Pee Wee, and they made it to districts. And, you know, listen, he was young. He likes to, like, kind of taunt and a little bit, but
not Justin.
He scored a goal. You know, he scored a goal, and, you know, he kind of skated by like the fans, and he's just like cheering, like, yeah, looking at the fans, and these parents are like giving them the finger and stuff. I'm like,
yeah,
it's a freaking kid. What are you doing? Like, you know, I mean, I get it, but whatever. Just, you're really gonna stoop that low and give a 12-year-old a finger? Like,
yeah,
come on.
Well, dude, it's been bad during our with the 12U too, man. We're playing teams, and like we had a showcase earlier in the season. We played New York team, and that same thing happened. You know what I mean? Like, we ended up coming, we came back, we won. It was like a 7-6 game, and dude, parents were literally taunting our fucking kids, like taunting them on the, you know, at Genesis, the green rink where you can overlook the rink.
Yeah, yeah.
Doing that and like talking shit to Lincoln while he's in net. I'm like, just stop. You know what I mean? Like.
Yeah, I dealt with that too. We played up in like Chester County, and dad was behind the net, like talking to my goalie. I'm like, come on, man. Like, seriously? Like,
yeah, have some proper respect, at least. To go back to the etiquette. It's not even your kid. It's not even his kid.
Right, right.
Yeah,
terrible.
Yeah. So, coach's conduct on the bench. You know what I mean? I don't know if you probably see it, but I mean, I saw it. I saw it numerous times through the season where these coaches are, I want to say, really disrespectful to the refs or to the kids or to the parents. You know what I mean? I've seen it that these coaches need to, I wouldn't use the right word. I don't want to sound like an asshole. They need to just worry about the kids and nothing else at the rink. Does that make sense?
Yeah. You're setting an example for sure when you're on the bench. You know, there's times where I've gotten heated myself, but like, you know, look down in front of you, you got like 15 to 16 kids on the bench, like looking at you, like you're kind of like their role model, you're their leader, you know, and you don't want to act like that, but, you know, and a lot of times I tell them, even the kids, like they'll start like getting mad and they're like, oh, saying stuff. And I'm just like, hey, you know, shut your mouth, play the game. You know, there's no need, you know, for any type of name calling or cursing people out or whatever. You know, I've learned it even myself, just kind of like take a step back when dealing with referees. They're like, look, you know, can I just talk to you for a minute and kind of just keep it mellow?
Yeah.
And I mean, it's just, again, you want to set the right example out there. Like, because eventually, you know what? Like, you might have a kid that coaches one day down the road.
So, oh, absolutely.
Like,
yeah.
So, like, you know, if, you know, you don't want him going out and be like, yeah, well, my 18U coach, like, mother F the ref. So I'm going to do it. It was fine. I was like, no, man, it's not good.
Yeah. The primary focus is the game.
Yeah. Yeah. You got to play through it. You're going to miss, they're going to miss calls. They're not going to call stuff, you know, just, you got to just get up and just persevere and just keep, you know, play to the last minute of that game and do what you got to do to win.
I know. I don't know. I mean, even with the coaches yelling at parents, you know what I mean? Like during the game, like you can't be yelling at parents during a game. You know what I mean? It's, I've seen it numerous times. You know what I mean? They're yelling like, dude, you literally are in charge of these kids. These kids, you know what I mean? It's like you said, they look up to you and everything. You got, we have to, you know, like people don't understand like what we have to do to coach, all the background checks, all, you know what I mean? All the clearances and stuff like that. And, you know, if this guy is really in charge of all your kids and he's acting like an asshole, like is he really the right fit? Does that make sense? You know what I mean? Like, you know, again, we all make mistakes as coaches. It happens. You know what I mean? But like to be on the bench yelling at parents across the rink, like not a good thing. Not a good example.
No, I agree. It's again, it comes back to that composure and stuff like that. You got to maintain it. It's part of the job. You know, it's part of your role as a coach is, you're a leader. You know, leaders gotta lead, and that's just one way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
It reflects poorly on the sportsmanship too.
Oh yeah, 100%.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah, and you see it. You know what I mean? It's and that jumps into the next topic we have here is, you know what I mean, is, you know, let your kids play. You know what I mean? Like, you've seen it probably with just, you know, any team Justin was on or, you know, Jaden's teams that he was on is, you know what I mean, you let the kids play and you don't have parents, you know, living their fantasy through their kid and you let them play. It's a total different atmosphere for the kid.
Yeah. Listen, I've had just kind of discussions before and my just overall my opinion on the whole like youth hockey thing. And
mm-hmm.
and listen, at the end of the day, like, let your kids develop, let your kids put your kids in a situation where they can succeed. Right.
Exactly. But,
you know, like, you know, if he's playing A level hockey right now and he's doing really well, let him go, you know, and then reevaluate the next year. Okay. Do you want to make the jump to double A? You want to give it a try? Like, I think that communication with your kid is important. Like, you know, and if they're agreement, like, okay, yeah, I want to try double A. If that year doesn't work for him at double A and he's struggling and he's not doing well and he's frustrated, bring him back.
Yeah.
Put him back down at A. Let him, you know, he just needs more development or something. And I think a lot of parents out there, like, don't see it that way. Like, they feel like their kids got to play the highest level. They got to play tier one. They got to go out there. We got to get looks somehow. Like pump the brakes. Like,
yeah.
Look at your child. Like, if he's doing well, leave him be. Let him grow.
More time to adjust. They might need more time to adjust.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely.
I mean, too, is, you know, you have kids, too, that playing the game, you know what I mean? I've seen it, you know. You've been coaching a long time. I've been coaching a long time. And you see kids that are getting, you know, wheeled in to try to perform for somebody outside the rink, you know what I mean? And if they don't do it the right way, it's like, dude, their whole day's, you know, done. Their whole car ride home is done. You know what I mean? Like, they get in the car. What do you think is going to happen when they get in the car and they don't perform to, you know, mom and dad's level? What do you think is going to happen?
Yeah.
You know, and I've said this before, you know what I mean? I've been truthful with Lanny when he plays, you know what I mean? Like, Lanny, like, you should have did this. You should have done that. Like, what else do you think you could have done better? You know what I mean? And that's the main thing as a dad and a coach. Like, what do you think you could have done better? Like, they come to the bench, you know, like, Lanny, what'd you see there? You know what I mean? Like, did you see something different than we saw? You know what I mean? And that's coming from a dad on the bench with his kid. But these parents don't see that outside the rink. You know what I mean? They see, you know, hey, why isn't Billy putting up, you know, four goals a game?
Yeah, no, for sure. I think having, like, that communication with your kid is important. Like, mm-hmm. you know, after a game, sit down and talk. Well, how do you feel? How do you think you did? And, you know, but it's got to be, like, some positive reinforcement with them. So, like, you know.
No, absolutely.
You know, I think you did great on this play, but I think on this play, maybe we could have done this differently, but whatever. Like, you know, you'll get them next time, like, that type thing. And you want to keep them – happy and engaged and wanting to go back to the rink the next day to play, like, you know, not like beat them down and tear them down and be like, oh, you know, you played awful today. What the hell's wrong with you? Like,
yeah, you know, and that comes, you know, and you have parents too that, you know, want to, obviously every parent, you, myself, you know what I mean? Like, we want our kids to do great. We absolutely do. But we know, like, they have to put the work in, you know, at the rink, at home, you know, in the gym, in the classroom. You know what I mean? You just can't go through the motions coming to the rink thinking, all right, you know, I got practice on, you know, Tuesday. All right, I'm here for an hour and a half. I'm just going to go through the motions and think I'm going to do good on the weekend. You know what I mean? So it's the parents have to take a step back and stop. I don't want to say living through their kid. You know what
they
I mean?
Can't be glorified fanboys, marks. Yeah. You have to just.
Yeah. No, I agree. I mean, that off ice stuff is definitely important. I mean, I don't even have to tell my kids sometimes to go outside, and they go shoot under net outside, working on their shot, whatever. That stuff's important, and it graduates, you know, as you're going through the years, and even at the club level, you know, my boys, they're out, they're working out, they're going to the gym, we got 6 a.m. practices, so they got to be disciplined to get up at like 5 o'clock, get to the rink, be dressed, be ready, do their workouts, do their schoolwork. I mean, that's just, you know, you kind of want to prepare them for like the real world, prepare them for that next level. And, you know, that all plays into it.
No, absolutely. 100%. 100%. But Raul, that's all we got for you. I appreciate you coming on. Oh, one more thing. I forgot. Thoughts. Last thing, then I'll let you go. Thoughts on the Carter Hart situation.
Ooh,
let's go Rangers.
Yeah. Yeah, right. I'm waiting for more information to come out. Like I heard the gist of it, what happened, what went down, and if it's really true, I mean, it's an absolute disgrace that, you know, that someone would do that to another person.
Yeah.
But I'm hoping and praying that, you know, it's not completely true. But I if it is, like, you know, shame on these guys. It wasn't even just Carter Hart. It sounds like it was a bunch of guys.
Yeah, it was five Dubé.
Five total.
Yeah, it's
but like,
a couple devils.
Yeah, a couple devils. Like, I mean, it's just like, come on, guys.
Vince,
like,
McMahon.
Everybody's involved.
I said to my dad, you know what I mean? My dad and I were texting about it, and this is my platform. I could say whatever I want, you know what I mean? But I said to my dad, I'm like, these guys, five of these guys were playing for Team Canada, right? Playing for Team Canada on top of the world. Like, you mean to tell me that you couldn't find a legitimate piece of ass somewhere else? You had to do this?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, come on, man. You're playing junior hockey for Team Canada, and you can't find it anywhere? Like, come on.
And that's the thing. Like, you know, it just comes down to just respecting like, other people, and, you know, respecting women, respecting yourself, respecting – I mean – Even their families, I can't imagine what they're thinking. Like, oh my God, like, what did you do? Like, why?
They could have all better. They could have definitely all made better sounded choices.
Yeah. Like,
especially in the situation.
Now, you know, and I don't know if this is completely true. I'm not putting two and two together, but I really think this is the reason why. One of the reasons why Cutter Gauthier didn't want to be with the Flyers.
That's a good thought.
You know what I mean?
You know, I'll add to that, and it was something that I forget if I read or I heard or listened to on something, but like someone made a good point on one thing. Like, it seems like nowadays, like, these upper level teams, like, let's say like tier one teams, like junior teams, like high level junior teams, whatever, they're getting so pampered and mm-hmm. getting like all this luxury of these crazy locker rooms and you know, free food, free this, free that, and they're getting treated like there's some sort of like royalty.
Yeah,
like and I get it, like you play a higher level, you'll get some more perks, but like at what level does that stop? And the reason why I'm saying that is because now these guys think like, oh, I'm on top of the world, nobody could touch me, I'm this, I'm that, and then I could get away with anything type thing, like that attitude, I feel.
Yeah.
I mean, I could be wrong, but like, you know, it kind of just kind of leaned towards that a little bit, but
borderline feeling impervious to the situation. Like, it doesn't affect me. I'm too big for this.
No, I agree. I totally agree with you. I mean, dude, when I was with the Junior Flyers, you know, coaching and scouting for them, it was the same way, Raul. You know what I mean? Like, dude, I don't know if you've ever seen their locker room. Have you seen their locker room on Rink 1?
No,
dude, it's like almost like an NHL style locker room. You walk in the door and you have a lounge there. You got microwaves, fridge, TVs. Then you go through another door and then there's a locker room. It was a locker room for the EHL team, right? And then you have showers, a bathroom, and then another door. It was the U16 locker room. So everything was – it was the biggest, most luxurious locker room, you know, I've ever been a part of. You know what I mean? And it's – they basically – I don't want to say they were giving them whatever they want, but whatever they needed, they were given. It's Junior Flyers. You know what I mean? And it's a top-notch organization. I love it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And you know, when Jerry Domish, you know, sent me to go scout, like, I went to scout the NA camps. You know what I mean? So – I'm going to Michigan, you know, scouting up there, and Chicago scouting there. And these rinks that I go in, man, even the Titans rink, you know what I mean? In Middletown, their locker room was sick. And those guys get Bowers. They get stick deals too. You know what I mean? So it's like, it's incredible. Like, and I agree what you say, man, like they're on top of the world, but like, dude, come back to fucking reality.
Yeah. Yeah. You're a hockey player. You're a good hockey player. Great. Enjoy the moment. But like, you're no better than anybody else. Like,
yeah.
You know, I'm no better than you. You're no better than me. We're equal. You just got some higher skill level than I do on the ice.
Yeah.
Do your thing, but stay humble. Like, and that's kind of my thought, but
especially when it comes to misconduct too. Nobody's impervious of it.
Yeah. But Raul, we appreciate you. If you want to give a plug here for Kutztown and Rink Rat, it's your platform right now.
Yeah, listen, Kutztown, great little landing spot, little farm town school. You know, program has grown so much since 3 years I've been there. You know, they went from one team to now having a D2 and a D3 team. The recruits that I see coming in, filling out the forms, coming to the school, you know, we're getting some pretty high talent recruits coming to here. So definitely check it out if you're, you know, if you're a U18 guy and you're looking to play some hockey, Kutztown is definitely a great landing spot. And, shout out to Rink Rat. You know, I've been with them now for like 3-4 years. You know, great jerseys, great wheels for the inline game. So you can hit me up if you need some wheels and stuff. I know you're going to need some wheels soon, TJ.
I do. I know.
Yeah. But, thank you guys for having me. I appreciate it.
No problem.
You guys have a great night.
Thanks, Raul. Appreciate it.
Take care, brother.
Take care.
So, yes, that was Raul Batista, Kutztown University head coach.
He sounds like the animal.
Guy's a beauty. Guy's a beauty.
Batista.
Guy's a beauty, man. He's – I tell you, man, like him and I, we talk about coaching all the time. Almost like, you know what I mean? We're like same level, man. We agree on things. We disagree on things. It's good
feedback.
Oh yeah, dude.
Levels back to each other.
Yeah. If I got a question to ask him or, you know, to talk about something, man, he'll say it. Same thing with me. You know what I mean? It's like, we're talking maybe 5 to 6 times a week. You know what I mean? There's that one day off, you know, but
Sunday, man. Yeah. Football Sunday.
No, he's a good guy, man. He's you know, great coach, great father, great, you know, husband. He's an awesome all around guy. Tucker, Tucker, man, didn't bail on us again.
He did. He's probably with his girlfriend. Probably
they are not together anymore.
Oh no.
Yeah, not together. He's actually talking about moving back out here, or moving.
Really?
Out here. Yeah, he was here for. When he played juniors, he was out here for a year. He loved it. And he just – now he's like, dude, North Dakota fucking sucks. I got nothing here. He wants to come out here.
Planes and a highway and telephone poles. How much fun can it be?
Yeah, no kidding.
Oh.
One thing I wanted to talk about, I want to talk about is one last thing, you know, with the whole hockey thing. And I know, you know, you probably seen it and growing up is, you know – one thing I noticed too is with youth hockey, and that's any age group, is, you know, kids, you know, feeding on, you know, bottom feeder teams. You know what I mean? Like,
elaborate.
These kids, you know, they literally like want to play lower level teams so they get their stats up. You know what I mean? And then you have other kids, you know, these same kids when the tough gets going, man, you want to depend on these kids. And it's like, like kids, you know, these kids have to be consistent regardless if the team sucks or if the team's good.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense to you?
Well, think of it like in hindsight as like an Olympic race, 100 meter, 200 meter.
Yeah.
You can be better than the guy next to you, but if the guy on the end is the fastest runner, your whole objective is to essentially beat the fastest runner, because if you do, you then hence become the gold medalist. If not, you still take home a medal, but it's not
what you want.
Not the coup de grace.
Yeah, you know what I mean? And that goes back to, like, you know, when we were talking to Raul about scouting and stuff like that. You know what I mean? Like, these coaches look at these, you know, the stats. You know what I mean? There's some coaches that don't agree with the stats and don't like looking at stats. You know, and I said this before, you know what I mean? You know, these kids, you know, love looking at their stats. You know what I mean? They want to look and see how many goals they have. They want to see how many assists they have. They want to see how many points they have. You know what I mean? But as a coach, and if you're scouting kids, like, you know, at the age group now, at 12U and up, you know what I mean? Like, you don't think 14U coaches are looking at stats of these kids at 12U? They 100% are.
Absolutely.
100% are. You know what I mean? So if you're a coach, you know what I mean? And you see this kid, let's use the name Willie. Willie played the last six games, Willie has, 2 points in the last six games.
Not bad.
Right? 2 points the last six games. And then you have another kid that plays six games and he's got, 13 points.
Landon.
You know what I mean? So do you think the coach is going to say, all right, man, I'm going to look at this kid that has 2 points, but the previous games, he was all over the map. You know what I mean? He had 2 points
showing
here.
The effort.
He has 2 points here. He has 3 points there. He has 1 point here. He has 0 points there. You know what I mean? Like, and then, you go a skid of, three or four games where you have nothing, then you have a point, then you go three or four more games and you have nothing compared to, a kid that is consistently putting up goals, putting up assists, putting up points, stays out of the box, doesn't get fed into the bullshit. What kid is he going to take? You know what I mean?
Yeah, obviously you want to pick the choice of I don't really want to say the better kid, but the more reliable player.
You 100%, and then that goes with,
because in a game time decision, ultimately, listen, to any given Sunday, right? The player who may not be as proficient as the other, is maybe he has the greatest day ever on the ice.
Yeah.
Or on the rink, on the roller rink. But truth be told, statistics don't really lie, and you're predominantly going to go with the more reliable player because the more reliable player has more reliable games.
100%.
The consistency is there. So if the consistency is not there so much, even though the player could be good in a game time, game winning decision, I think any realistic, logical thinking coach, parent, even player is going to know. Like, for example, let's say it's me and you. Now, obviously, you're a better hockey player than me. We're about to be in a championship game. I can't sit here jealous and spoiled. Like, no, I want to take the ice over TJ because I know I can do it, coach. Meanwhile, it's got nothing to do with that. Because if we want to win the game, logically, we should probably put TJ on the ice. Because if TJ hits the ice, most likely he's going to gain some type of positive, an assist, a goal, et cetera. Meanwhile, I might get hit because I have my head down and we lose the puck. And they turn back into the zone and score on us.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, that's fictitious, but things like that can happen. Now, because of my sort of insubordination, and you can even chalk it up like a jealousy thing, like me, because of my selfishness.
Yeah.
We could have just lost the game right there.
No, 100%. And I mean, that's what coaches, and it's again, these kids, they look at it. You know what I mean? And other kids, like, eat at high levels. You know what I mean? I've seen it at high levels too. Like, kids get, they get all bent out of shape because one kid has more goals or assistant, you know, even points. Like, guys, there's a, you know, there's a reason why this kid's got, you know, like 50 goals. You know what I mean?
Better attributes, hell yeah.
You know what I mean? He's got better stats because, you know, A, he's putting in the work. B, you know, he's got that skill. He's got natural skill. You know, everybody's got a different skill set than everybody else. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. C, you know, he's listening to the coach. He's not dicking around. He's coming to practice. He wants it. You know what I mean? Like, and there's kids that have different goals. You know what I mean? Like, you know, like last year I had kids that, you know, they wanted to finish. They just wanted to play hockey. They're 18U. They didn't want to do anything after 18U. They didn't want to go to college. They, you know, I mean, they didn't want to play college hockey. You know what I mean? That's fine. You know, so
they're focused.
Yeah. But, you know, going back to like these, some of these kids need to realize, like, you know, you can't sit there and be jealous of one kid, you know what I mean, for having the stats that he has compared to, you know, what you have.
Mm-hmm. Cliche. You, there's no I in team.
There's not. You know what I mean?
But there because, is in me.
Because,
yeah. I'm just kidding.
Because, you know, and I said this before, and I'll say it again. Like, you can't compare yourself. You cannot compare yourself to another teammate. Because, A, you're going to put jealousy between you and that other teammate. B, if you guys have a 2-on-1 and this guy's wide open in the back door, you already know what's going to happen. This guy's not going to pass because why? This guy's going to get the game-winning goal and you didn't get any glory? Bullshit. Like, the pass is just as good as a goal. You guys are both getting the same amount of points. He scores a goal, you get a point. You pass the puck, you get 1 point. You don't get 2 points for a goal. You get 1 point. So these kids need to realize, like, you guys are put on the rink for a reason. You have a skill set for a reason. Everyone has a different skill set. Everyone has a different job. You know what I mean? And this goes back to the coaches looking at that. You know what I mean? Like, if you go and look at a kid that literally, you know, plays, you know, his own blue line, plays on his blue line and plays, you know, up to his offensive zone, but doesn't play any defense, that he's not going to take that. The coach isn't going to take him. He's not a defensive player. He's there for one reason.
You know stop. I mean? Stop you the puck, I mean? Essentially. You stop, know I mean? Stop the offense.
You have to. You know what I mean? There's a reason, you know, did, you know, coaches have defensive systems. There's a different, you know, there's a reason why these, you know, coaches, you know, have drills at practice to get the puck out of the zone in your D zone, not to stand the blue line waiting for a breakaway or standing there, you know, only playing offense. Again, coaches look at that. Coaches look at your attitude. Coaches look at your stats. Coaches look at your reputation. Coaches look at how many penalty minutes you take. Coaches look at how you respond to coaches. You know what I mean? If you sit there and you talk to a kid and he's looking all around and he doesn't pay attention to you or he can't take constructive criticism, he's not going to go anywhere. He's not.
And it all plays a role.
He's not going to play, you know, if he's playing double-A hockey now and he thinks that he's a triple-A material, like, he's not going to play triple-A. Coaches aren't going to take that. If, and like Raul said, if you can't skate, not going to take you. You have a bad attitude, not going to take you. You can't, you know, play a team game, they're not going to take you.
Yeah, you know? You can learn a lot of fundamentals, but I'll tell you what he said before was fantastic because truthfully, I mean, I really believe that the root of the game, as much as the knowledge of the game will make you a successful player, if you can't skate,
mm-hmm.
I mean, you don't have to be able to stick handle. I mean, what if you're like 6'2", like 6'5" on skates and you're just this big kid? You might not be able to have the best stick handling positions, you know what I mean? But if you're good on your feet, you can almost be like an enforcer type role. And the other things can come along. But if you can't skate, there's no point in not saying trying because you can even learn how to skate too. But if you're not proficient at skating, there's no possible way that you'll be successful
in hockey. Dude, I'll tell you, like, in Jaden and Justin Raul's kids, fantastic.
It has to be the foundation of hockey. I mean, in my opinion, I don't know who am I, but it has to be the foundation of hockey.
It is. They're fantastic skaters. Jaden and Justin are fantastic skaters. You know what I mean? You look at Lanny, right? Lanny went to one skating. It was like, I don't want to say it was a clinic, but it was a skating session. When he first started, you know what I mean? Went one time, you know, he didn't like it. I didn't like it. You know what I mean? And I never took him back and I will refuse to take him back. I'll never do it.
What, like an open skating or was it like class or something?
It was like a class, a clinic, you know what I mean? We still would call it that. But, you know, Lanny literally like, he's my kid. You know what I mean? I'm very, you know, hard on him. But I will say, Alan, like his first, you know, two steps, maybe three, dude, he takes off and it's ridiculous, man. Like, and I've never took him to a power skating. I've never taken him to an edge. I never took him to anything, you know, a clinic to skate. You know what he does? He listens. And it's just through time I tell him, you know, and he's a very virtual, you know, visual learner. You know what I mean? So if you tell him at practice he needs to do this or he needs to do that, or, you know, hey, watch these Connor McDavid videos. You know what I mean? He's watching that, visualizing. And I tell him, like, dude, visualize that's you. You know what I mean? And his biggest thing now is, you know, he's at that age. He'll be, you know, can you believe he's going to be 13 on Thursday?
It's crazy, dude.
Yeah. So his biggest thing now at his age and these other kids' ages, you know, around him is, they want to make the highlight reel play. They want to dangle. They want to toe drag, right? And, you know, his coach, Steve, says the same thing that I do, you know, and we preach it to him constantly. We're like, Landon, just use your fucking legs and go around them.
Yeah, there's no need to dilly-dally per se.
There's not, man. Just go around the guy. You know what I mean? And that's what Raul said, the skating. You know what I mean? The skating is the biggest thing, especially
stronger you're on your feet, the stronger your game's going to be regardless.
Yeah. And he's quick, man. He's quick, his edges. And it's just, again, if you see, you know, if I was not his dad or his coach, I'd be like, all right, you know, that kid can skate. You know what I mean? He's got the foundation to skate. And then you look at, you know, you go to a clinic in California and you see a kid that can't stop on his left foot. You know what I mean? Like, who are you going to take? The kid that has foundation that can skate and can skate like the fucking wind? Or are you going to take a kid that can't stop on his left foot?
Facts,
man. You know what I mean? So it's just, it is what it is. You know what I mean? And again, these kids need to realize that, you know, it's, again, someone's always watching. Someone's always looking at your stats. Someone's always watching Live Barn. Someone's always here saying, you know what I mean? Like, you could be at a rink in Philadelphia and, you know, watch a kid there and come back home and talk about that kid. And somehow that family's going to find out, yo, that kid's fucking good. I want him. You know what I mean? Like, it's, you know, it's to the point, you know, like I'm coaching Keystone games again this year, you know what I mean? And I've been looking, you know what I mean? I've been recruiting. I've been telling kids, you know, hey, we got tryouts coming, you know what I mean? Just to get the best team out there. You know what I mean? And that's what, as you know, a coach and a director, that's what my job is. You know what I mean? Like Raul's job, Raul's coaching 18s and the girls, you know what I mean? So U18 boys and U19 girls, he's already recruiting. So it's, again, recruiting's always in process, you know what I mean? Through, even if it's Keystone games, if it's summer hockey, if it's inline hockey, if it's next year, you know what I mean? Like, you don't think
you have to always keep your eye on the prospect,
yeah,
no matter what.
Yeah, man. You don't think other coaches are looking at kids throughout the season, you know what I mean? That's another thing too. How much time you got? Like 5 minutes?
Yeah, I can rock with you.
All right. Another thing is like, dude, as a coach, you know what I mean? In the back of your mind, you know what I mean? Like, you're coaching these kids in your league. You know what I mean? Like, say, you know, you're playing against Team Red and your Team Blue. You go to Team Red, you're like, man, Team Red, this, you know, number 74, 68, you know, 22 and 5. They're very solid players. You know what I mean? So you watch and you keep tabs on them. You like that team. Then you're going to play Team Green the next day, right? Then you have another three players. If you take four or three players from each team, you know what I mean? And you try to look at their stats throughout the year or watch how their body language is or, you know, watch how they are as a teammate or if they respond to their coaches, you know what I mean, while they're being coached. The next season, I guarantee maybe two or three of those kids will probably come over and play for that coach. You know what I mean? Because they're being recruited to another a team. You know what I mean? They probably look at how the organization is. Look at how the coaching is. Look at how, you know, people on the team, if it's a well-rounded team or if it's just one player doing the work. If they are 2-17, you know what I mean? And they have a solid goalie to build out the foundation, they might come over. You know what I mean? Someone's always watching. Someone's always recruiting.
Mm-hmm. And it's also to the if the personalities as well. Like, you know, if the kids know each other too, that may be
an
incentive to
100%. 100%. You know what I mean? Let's
want to play with each other.
Yeah, you know,
or play alongside of each other.
Dude, and it goes a long way. You know what I mean? It's even we're at Keystone Games, man. It's we're the East region, so like we're from, you know, I want to say York all the way up to past Wilkes-Barre. You know what I mean? Like, so we have like, I'll send you the map, Alan, so you can see it's different counties. You know, it's broken into four different divisions of Pennsylvania regions. And you go to Penn State, you play Olympic style hockey, but it's basically, you know, you try to recruit the best kids in Pennsylvania to play against each other. You know what I mean? So if you have, you know, teams from Wilkes-Barre,
like even like far West Coast too, like Pittsburghish.
Yeah,
like
yeah. Dude, we played last year our first game of the tournament. We were playing at Penn State in the big, you know, in the college arena, Pagoule Arena. Dude, we were against the Pittsburgh region. We were against the West, and dude, we were down 5-2, right? 5-2 with 3:52 left on the clock. So I ended up, I was like, I pulled my goalie probably, I want to say, the beginning of third period.
Damn.
Right? I pulled my goalie. I put my other goalie in. I put in Lincoln, right? Oh. He's second or third year goalie. Kid's going to be, you know, he's going to be a stud. He's a good goalie. He's a well-rounded goalie. Goofball, but, you know, he's a well-rounded goalie. Put him in. He looked at me and he's like, are you serious? Right. This is a 5-2 game. I was like, yeah, man, I'm going to get you some exposure here. You're going to play. Right. We ended up pulling the goalie right at 3:52. So he played, I want to say 13 minutes of the third. I pulled him right with 3 minutes left. We score a goal, put him back in, scored a goal. Right. So mind you, it's 5-4 now. They ended up scoring a little one, you know, like a cheap goal on them. So it's 6-4. Pull them again. Scored. Pull them again. Scored. Right? Right? Tied the game up.
How much time we got left?
Dude, I probably about 30 seconds left.
I was about to say.
Yeah, 30 seconds left in the game. Put them back in net. We go to overtime. Right? Go to overtime. He makes like, I want to say like four saves in overtime that were ridiculous. We go down, right? Lanny takes the puck down, dishes it over. I want to say Travis or Teagan scored the game. Malcolm scored the game winner for us from Wilkes-Barre. Dude, probably the best game of the weekend, dude. The whole, like, the arena wasn't packed, but it was pretty fucking packed and people were going nuts, dude.
Probably pop. CM pop.
Yeah, dude. It was pretty sick, man. And that's what they talked about all weekend. And, you know, their big thing was, you know, it was like, they were talking about big marbles. They were like, big balls, let's go for it. You know what I mean? Like, let's go for the win. And I was like, all right, let's pull the goalie. Let's do it. You know what I mean? Like, let's go. So, again,
it was good tactic, though, on your point, too, and you never gave up.
No, you did, man. And that's the thing, dude. And parents know me. Like, I go for it, man. You know what I mean? I call those Peter Laviolette timeouts, you know what I mean, in the first fucking 10 minutes of the game. Settle the fucking kids down, man. You know what I mean? No need to do it.
Yeah, relax.
It's just take a breath. Take a breath. Focus. Let's get back to our game. We'll be fine. So, but yeah. Other than that, man, you and I, Tucker, got to get on. We got to try to do this more often. I sent a bunch of messages out for NHL, ex-NHL players, former NHL players, to get them on. So, we got to get back to hosting these guys on the podcast, picking their brain, about hockey and life and stuff like that outside the rink and inside the rink. But other than that, Alan, I appreciate you, as always, taking your time out to speak to me.
You know what it is.
I know. I'm actually – I wanted to ask you, how far are you from Brick?
Not far, maybe 30, 40 minutes.
All right, we're going to be down there in 2 weeks.
What days?
Saturday and Sunday.
Early or late?
I'll send you the schedule. Lanny's got playoffs down there. We're staying at John's.
Oh, yeah. I'll definitely pull up. I actually just spoke to him the other day, some old friend of mine. He lives in Freehold, but apparently at Old Bridge, which is basically where John lives,
mm-hmm.
It's probably like right around the corner from John's house. And I had no idea, but he was familiar. He may have even played in something, maybe not this go around, but they have at the police station there, they have a ice rink and they do open hockey on Friday nights.
$10. Oh shit.
$10 ice. You bring your gear, you pay the $10, you get to play with whoever's in a pickup game. And I was like, oh, shit. So I got to get some skates, but I'm going to get some skates in a couple weeks. And I'm going to maybe just start doing it just for some exercise and whatnot. No holds barred. No strings attached kind of thing.
Just go and play. You know it. But other than that, yeah, I'll send you the schedule. I'll let you know when we're out there. We'll be Saturday and Sunday.
Yeah, I'll do my best.
All right. Other than that, guys, stay dusty.
Stay dusty.